you. Give it up for Pastor Mercedes, Pastor Colin. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands to heaven for just a minute. Come on, let's just enter into what he has for us today. Do you believe God can do something miraculous in your life today? Let's let him know it today. Lord, we just thank you. Open up your mouth today. Let's just pray together. If you're online, just pray with us today. Just invite the Holy Spirit to come right now. Lord, we thank you, God, that you are changing things right now. We thank you that there are climates being changed right now. Things that we didn't know what was going on, things that are maybe we're fuzzy about, that we're having clarity issues. We thank you, Father, that you are moving on our behalf right now, Father. We thank you, Jesus. Come on, continue to just pray right now. Just begin to enter in. Come on, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. And I just see somebody running in circles, running in circles, running in circles. If you feel today that you have been running in circles and running in circles and running in circles and you're just tired and you're faint, I just get this picture right now when you open up your arms, your Heavenly Father just grabbing you and hugging you and embracing you, and it is exactly what you need. If you need that today, just receive it. Say, thank you, Father, I receive that today. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. You are our healer. You are our strength. You are supernatural in every way. It's who you are. You can't be anything different. We thank you that you are a supernatural creator that moves on our behalf all the time. We thank you, Father. Come on, if you agree with that, say amen today. Amen, amen. You can grab a seat. And if you got your Bibles, you can turn to Philippians chapter 3. We'll start there today. And sorry, Damar, I might walk around a lot. Damar and I were talking. He's like, are you going to walk around a lot today? He's running camera today. I was like, I don't know. I might. I mean, but I might not, too. I know where Philippians is, I promise. We'll get there. You know, I got this new Bible, and I love it. My wife got it for me for Christmas. It's awesome. Yeah, she's awesome. Pastor Charity is amazing. And, you know, my old Bible, it had bigger pages, so I could, flipping is like, anyway, whatever. Who cares? I just want to take a moment to just preface what we're going to talk about today, because I think the past is very important. And I want to always honor my past. I want to honor what God has done in my life. How many of you want to honor what God has done in your life? You know, it's important to remember and be thankful for what God has done in your life. And there's power that comes with that. When we honor him. I also want to honor the people that have come before me and laid highways down, interstates down, where there was nothing, you know? I think about all of the things that people have done before me. You know, I think of Pastor Deborah, I think of Pastor Jim, laying highways down where there was nothing, you know? Nothing. And, you know, I think of, you know, Pastor Mercedes and Pastor Colin have poured into me over and over again. You know, I think of Amara Weiss that have poured into me over and over and over again and laid foundational pieces. I think about all of you in the room. You know, a lot of you knew me when I was young and dumb, right? Okay? You can laugh at that. It's okay. All right? It's okay. But things where I'm just like, what was I thinking? And you not only, this is important, you didn't just love me through it, okay? You loved me enough to help me move on, okay? And I believe, you know, Hebrews speaks of this, and we're going to look at the scriptures, Hebrews chapter 12, but it speaks of how we're surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses. Yeah. And I believe one of the greatest ways that we can honor our past, what God has done in our life, and also to honor the people that have paved a way, is to continue to move on. Amen? To continue to blaze and pioneer and create, to not stay stagnant. If you agree with that, shout a mighty amen today. Amen. Amen. And I think about that because I think that's really important. Today, we're going to talk about burning the bridge. And a lot of times we hear, don't burn your bridges when it comes to like relationships with people. How many of you ever heard that? I, however, am a firm believer in life of burning bridges. And you're like, whoa, you are heartless, all right? I'm not talking about burning bridges with people, but I am talking about burning bridges from my past. And, you know, it's, I would probably submit that it's impossible to move on if you have a bridge to go back to your past. I really believe that, because what you then have created in your life is an option. And Christ never said, make me an option and see what I do. He said, make me number one. No more of this lukewarm living, all right? He said, be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. And when I hear that, I hear no options. And so today we're going to talk about that. We'll look at that. And let's just talk about what kind of bridges we might have to burn today. I'm going to give a few examples, but this is just a few. There are plenty, but I think one of them is tendencies. You ever heard, or maybe you've said this, but this is just the way I am. I'm going to tell you right now, that's the laziest thing that you could say. And if you don't like that I just said that, that's okay. But you and I both know that I'm right. Because to say that's the way I am, and that's just how it is, that is the laziest thing, especially as Christians, we can say. Because we know a creator. We know a supernatural God that can take us from glory to glory. Yet we are minimizing and limiting him and saying, you know what, that's great, but this is just how I am. Did he really create you that way? Did he create you limited in your life? No, he put things inside of you, knit you together before you were even in your mother's womb and said, I've got a great plan, a great purpose for good things to prosper you in life. And yet we have the nerve to say, this is just how I am. Let's move on. Tendencies. I think holding on to past hurts. Holding on to past hurts. There are really very real things that have happened to all of us in the room, all right? If you're watching on live stream, there are things that have happened to you. All of us can understand there are things negatively that have hurt us in our life. But we have a choice to either allow those things to follow us as baggage the rest of our life or to drop them and move on. And so if you're dealing with past hurts, things that have happened, and when I say past hurts, I mean any past. I'm talking like an hour ago. Someone's like, whoa, I need time. Do you? Do you need, can you afford more time to linger in your hurt when you have a heavenly Father that wants you to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life? It says that he has created a banqueting table even before my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. Do you have time to linger in your hurt? Do you have time to say, or would you rather dine at the feasting table that your heavenly Father has for you? It's your choice, all right? I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying you probably should, all right? I think another thing is weaknesses in our life. Weaknesses. We all have weaknesses that we have developed, that we have learned, different bad habits. Are you going to allow those things? You know, it goes back to our first thing. This is just how I am. This is just who I am. This is just how. Yeah, okay. But don't you think that God can take you out of those things? All right? It says in his word that he makes the weak strong. So is that scripture for you, or is it just for like 10% of the world? Is it for all of us, or is it just for 10% of the world? Reasons, right? Anybody have a reason? We have a reason. A reason, you know, it's just simply an excuse wrapped in the skin of a lie. all right? If you've never heard that, when I heard that, I was like, gosh darn it, that's just mean, all right, you know? But we make excuses, we wrap them in this lie that this is a good reason not to do it. I'm just going to stay home. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to grow stagnant and just chill. Cruise control, boop, bye. Cruise control is really cool these days, right? New cars, I love cruise control. Put cruise control and then it like will follow the car from a certain distance. And my car, they always get mad at me because I'm the guy that takes my hands off the wheels for too long, right? And then if you don't know what I'm talking about, go rent a new car, all right? It will change your life, all right? It will. And it's following, you know, behind. I mean, you don't have to do hardly anything. I mean, I can eat my Cheetos. I don't like Cheetos. Twizzlers. I eat my Twizzlers, all right? I don't even have to have a hand on my wheel or a foot on the gas. Some of you are like, I'm never driving next to you again. You're terrifying. You know, if people driving a Tesla, right, they can, like, crawl in the back of their back seat and take a nap while the car is going. I mean, if there was ever a picture of what the church looks like, it's that. We say, all right, I now have all this technology. I have all of these things catering to me. I can relax. I can hang out. We live in the greatest country in the world, America, and we're just like, you know what? I'm just going to crawl in the back seat and take a nap. And now we find ourselves in these situations where we're like, man, I guess maybe I should fight for something. We got to learn to dig our wells right now. Another thing that we got to burn the bridge is unforgiveness. Amen? Unforgiveness. One of the biggest toxic things in our life. And I say toxic for a reason. Because it creates bitterness in us. You ever talk to somebody that had a lot of unforgiveness? You know, it's sad. It truly is. Unforgiveness is this thing that they're just holding on to that they can't let go of. They hold grudges. They have bitterness. They begin to look at everything lens of their unforgiveness. It's hard to trust people. It's hard to trust God because we are looking through a lens of unforgiveness. That, well, this person did this to me, so you're probably going to do it to me as well. Unforgiveness. We got to move on. Glamorizing the past. Burn that bridge, okay? There's nothing that makes me more mad when somebody is talking about how awesome their past was, all right, but then they come and they say, but now I'm a Christian. And I'm like, what life are you living? Like, what God, all right, are you talking about? Because the God I know is nothing like that, all right? And they're glamorizing all these negative, these sinful things that they use, you know, but now I got, you know, praise God, I guess. Here now. Really? Really? I would tell you, get a revelation of Jesus Christ in your life, and you will never glamorize the past again. Glamorizing your sinful ways, your sinful habits, the things. Because I think usually that means that we just have a misunderstanding, probably more than a misunderstanding, a fundamental misunderstanding, all right? A fundamental misunderstanding if we are glamorizing our past above the love of Jesus Christ. A fundamental, what does that mean? That our fundamentals are off. Okay? Our fundamental thinking is broken, all right? And so wherever that comes from, I can tell you the cure, all right? It is the Word of God, all right? If you get in the Word of God and you start reading this thing, you will read cover to cover the history of Satan's butt getting kicked over and over and over and over. I mean, you can literally like just open up the Bible and say, oh, there it is. It's happening again. Oh, wow. Huh. Interesting. There it is again. And you can just remind the devil, you lost. In fact, you lost so many times. It's hilarious, all right? I mean, this is just a fraction of a fraction of how many times Satan has had his butt kicked through the history of mankind, all right? And so we think about this, but yet we're glamorizing our, come on, somebody, all right? And the last thing is our default. You know, I think we've got to burn our bridge to our default. You know, there are things that we have in our life that it's just a default. If you've heard me talk about this before, I've talked about it when we were, you know, or specifically I think about when we, Charity and I were first married, and whenever we would come against a financial challenge, my first default was got to sit down and crunch the numbers. Anybody ever sat down and crunched the numbers like, this made it worse? I'm going to crunch the numbers and I'm going to figure it out myself, all right? How many of you can understand that didn't work out very well, all right? And by the grace of God, and it is the grace of God, God still came through even when I was going by this default for a long period of time. And then one day, I would be like, wait, what am I doing? And I would just put God first in the situation, and he would just start to move. Opening up doors, things that I could do to create more income, or things that he started doing miraculously that only God can do, amen? And so now my default when financial, any kind of like challenge, and I will tell you this, I don't really believe in challenges anymore financially, all right? I was thinking about this last night, that because the Holy Spirit has begun to change my mind, I really don't believe in challenges financially anymore. I really look at what's the next thing that you've got for us to achieve financially that's going to bless the kingdom of God. Because there's, why would he say, you're my kid, I'm going to make you struggle? Okay, this is like a mindset shift thing, all right? This is like a, and I wasn't even going to talk about this, but here we are. But sometimes we think financially that it's hardship after hardship. Can we just shift our mind for just a minute and say, is that how the kingdom of God works? No, the kingdom of God should be advancing, all right? Does that make sense? So financially, we should be looking at what is the next thing that God is going to produce through me that is going to advance his kingdom. Some of you are a little quiet, so that's okay. I'm going to do it again then, all right? Because I think that financially, this is a big thing, and this is true about a lot of defaults, okay? They are close to a truth, okay? They are close to a truth, but they're far away enough to keep us in the ditch, okay? And so for me, I was always like, I was literally waiting for the next challenge or the next problem financially. Instead of saying, God, where am I right now? I know you've called me to prosper. You have a purpose in my life. So what's the well that I'm digging right now? What's the dream? What's the goal that you're putting in my heart right now that now I am pursuing? All right? I'm going to tell you right now, our life is a lot better that way. All right? Because now we're not waiting around. All right? Now we're proactively moving things forward. Amen? All right. If you're taking notes, we're going to look at five scriptures today. 1 Kings chapter 19, Genesis chapter 19, Luke 9, Philippians 3, and Hebrews 12. And Cassie, I'm going to have you come up. Why don't you come on up right now? She's going to come up and give a testimony that is awesome. Give it up for Cassidy. She such a blessing to our church. And I just wanted her to share today. And then if you got your Bibles, you can turn to Philippians chapter 3. We'll get into that in a minute.
Awesome. Oh, golly. So this has been a very exciting week and couple days. I feel like it actually starts from the last message you were preaching on, and you were talking about updates, and you were talking about, more specifically about your iPhones, because, you know, iPhones are the phones for everybody, but it was just so profound what you were talking about, because one of the things that you said was, if I'm not prepared, then I'm not ready for the update that God has for me. And I was like, gosh, this is so good. And like later that night, I hadn't updated my phone. And I think the last thing I had was like iOS 16. And I saw that there was like an iOS 26 update. And I was like, what happened to 17 through 25? I'm so confused. Did I miss something? And this was like months ago. And I tried to update it. And it said, you don't have enough space available. I was like, okay. So I tried to temporarily remove my apps that were on my phone to free up some space, and it said that I still didn't have enough space. I'm like, okay, well, I'll do this later. I don't have time for this. Don't have time for it. And when you were talking about that, I was like, man, like, what a great day to update my phone. And I kind of went through the same thing. Well, you got to free up some space. I temporarily removed a bunch of apps to free up the space, and it said that I still had, like, 5 gigs to, like, free up. And so I was like, okay, so whenever this happens, I start going through my photos and text messages, like, okay, what can I remove? And my photos, I'm such a hoarder when it comes to photos on my phone and videos. And it's, videos is one thing, but photos, I'm like, Cassidy, you print off every photo and put it in a photo album. Like, just get the physical thing out if you really want to reminisce that much. And so I just started going through it and just looking at, like, wow, like, this was a different time in my life. I don't even remember this picture. Wow, let's, and, but it made me think of that. And I was finally able to update my phone. Praise the Lord. And, but it made me think about, it's like, wow, I had to remove old parts of my phone's life, if you will, to be able to get to the new update that Apple had for me. And it's like in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So my phone has become new, and it looks so much more pretty with the glass features. And I actually put a passcode on it this time to, you know, it's kind of like guarding your heart, you know? It's like, let me actually guard what's on my phone. But it's so funny, too, because, you know, this is an iPhone 12, and they're at, like, 27, I think, right now. And so it's like, but it's also, like, a great reminder. It's like, it doesn't really matter how old I am or whatever. It's like, there's still updates available. There's still better things ahead. And I love that our best days are ahead for us. And, you know, like, I'm so thankful that, you know, as the pastors, like, you guys always talk about, you know, guard your heart, and, like, and I know it's in the Bible, too, but, you know, our words have the power of life and death, and just making it more of a priority for me to do affirmations every day. And I can't remember the exact scripture, but call things that be not as though they are, even if it's not true yet, even if you don't believe it yet, you keep saying it, you keep believing it, and then it's gonna come to fruition. And, you know, some of the things I talk about, like, that I speak over myself, I have extraordinary opportunities given to me, and I have preferential treatment because of God's favor. Amen. And on the sheet, you know, mine was number 3 that I stood up for, and suddenly God's favor will put my name in rooms that I have not even entered yet. Amen. And last Friday, not this past Friday, but the Friday before, I got an unexpected phone call, and I was like, I don't know who this is, so so I didn't even answer it, but I got a voicemail, and it's a recruiter from Applied Underwriters, and he said that I was referred. Am I okay to say it was by you? Okay. You did. Cassandra, thank you very much, referred me for an opening that they had, and I'm so thankful for that. You know, I got to call him back, and we were going through the interviewing process and everything, and I found out on Thursday that I have been offered this job, and I'm so Ooh. Thankful because it's like, praise the Lord. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Like, Cassandra, seriously, thank you so much. It's truly such a blessing because I really do love my job. I love what I get to do. But, you know, sometimes you just have to make financial decisions that are best for you. Yeah. And, you know, like, Merritt Weiss talks about this all the time. He's like, I don't love money. I love what it gives me, and it's options. It's options. Options to give more, to bless more people, to support more people yeah. and businesses, but also to support myself as well.
Yeah.
But I'm just so grateful for this opportunity, and, yeah, it's just an absolute blessing, and I'm so excited for people that have been praying over this with me and who have supported me and cheered me on, so thank you all so much. And I'm very excited to start this new position on February 9th. So all glory to God.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. Thanks, Cassidy. Praise the Lord. I love that. You know, part of burning bridges is moving on. Amen. How many of you want to move on? How many of you want to move on? Moving on. Moving on. All right. Philippians chapter 3. Let's go there real quick. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 14, it says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I think that scripture is pretty clear, all right? It is pretty clear to move on, all right? To move on past the things that maybe we've been in or we've, you know, been, that has been holding us back, and moving on, pressing towards the goal, the prize, Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen, amen. All right, go to Hebrews chapter 12 with me. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 2, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight." Come on, somebody. "Let us also lay aside every weight." You know, I looked that up in the Greek. You know what it means? Wait. What are some things that are holding you down? Anybody ever taken a walk before? And then, you know, you try to carry 40 pounds. It's harder. Crazy, right? It's harder, all right? It's harder. No, I'll just keep saying, it's harder. You know, John Wayne has this awesome quote, "Life's hard, it's harder if you're stupid." You know, how long are we going to hold the weight of the things that we know we should have let go a long time ago and walk around and say, "Life's so hard"? Yeah, duh. You're still carrying around that weight. You're still carrying around that thing that you're like, "This is why life's so hard." Well, let's move on. Let's move on. All right, now we're going to get to the meat. Somebody say the meat. The meat. That was the intro. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to look at verse 19. We'll read 19 through 21. And it says, "So he," and when they're talking about he, it's Elijah, okay? So this is a story of Elijah passing the mantle to Elisha. You can read more about it. I would encourage you to. If you're not reading or studying the things that we talk about on a Sunday during the week, change that, all right? Change that, okay? Because if you just get some word in during the week and take our word for it, you got to make this your own. And we're people. We're not perfect, all right? We're like mess stuff up every once in a while. If you're looking for perfection, sorry. You're never going to find it except for in Jesus Christ. So we do our best to bring the word of God and to honor it, okay? But you got to get in there. You got to study that thing and make it your own. Otherwise, it's just borrowed revelation. Otherwise, it's just borrowed, I'm going to say it again, borrowed revelation, all right? Don't borrow people's revelation. It's got to be your own, amen? All right. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19, it says, "So he," Elijah, "departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. I just want to pause there for a minute. This is important to what we're going to talk about today, because Elisha, it says here, had 12 yoke of oxen. Per each yoke had two oxen. That means he has 24 oxen, all right, to plow his fields. That means he is wealthy, all right? His family is wealthy. He is wealthy. He's got a good thing going. At a time where currency was your herd, he had a good thing going. He had a very comfortable life, okay? Does everybody got that today? That is important. "And Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And he, talking about Elisha, left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. So Elisha recognizes what's happening, that Elijah is saying, hey, this is my mantle, all right? You're going to succeed me. Okay, that's what's happening. And so it says, let's see, we're still in verse 20, and it says, and he said to him, this is Elijah speaking, go back again, for what have I done to you? Now, I just want to take a minute on this because this is kind of a weird moment, all right? We're like, what's Elijah trying to say? Sometimes we look at this like Elijah's rebuking him, all right? Like, how dare you? You know, I just did this and now you're going to go? Fine, go ahead, do whatever you want. And some people look at it as multiple different ways, but I would say this with Elijah in this moment. He's saying, that's fine, go do what you got to do, but don't forget what God, because what does it say? What I have done to you. If you look in the original translation, it says, actually look at what God has done. Don't forget what God just did. Okay? This is really important, okay? Because as God calls us to new things in our life, we cannot forget what he has called us to do, the purpose, the plans, the dreams, the goals. And it's very easy sometimes to just forget those things. And I believe that Elijah knew a little bit of what was going on, all right? He's like, you can go back, but he knew Elisha's life was comfortable. He knew he could walk into that room and say goodbye to mom and dad and be like, don't go, we need you here. Look at the dad maybe was like, look at everything I've made for you. This legacy that I've built for you. And you're gonna leave? I mean, let's just be real about how hard this moment really was. Okay? Because sometimes we read it and we're like, oh, it's Elijah. Sweet. Elijah was a crazy old man, okay? All right? And his prophecies were fulfilled, which made his writings and his story legitimate after a period of time, all right? But in the moment, he's just some crazy old guy, all right? Let's be real, okay? And so it's important to recognize what's really happening in this moment. Let's read on, okay? This is so powerful. The meat. Verse 21, and he returned from following him, listen to this, and he took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people. They ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. I love that. He literally burns any chance of going back. He says, this was my identity before, and I am burning it because now I have a new identity. Praise the Lord. And some of us are still caught up in our old identity. We're allowing Satan to say, this is your old identity. This is who you are, and you can never change. And I'm telling you right now, put it on the sacrifice right now. Put it on the altar and sacrifice it before your Lord. I love this moment. I love what God is doing in this moment. I love what's happening in Elisha. And then you read about Elisha. You read about him. He does amazing things for the Lord. You read about him. You watch how God blesses him. You watch what God, and you tell me this, is it more exciting to live a life walking around with a bunch of oxen or living a life on fire for God, being used by God to do everything they did? I'm going to tell you right now, the life would have been a lot more comfortable back walking around with some oxen, okay? I guarantee you 100,000%, that's not even a number, that it was a lot more uncomfortable for him to do what God had called him to do. In fact, you can read about how uncomfortable it was over and over and over and over again, but I guarantee you his life, the fulfillment that he had, could not match any day that he would have spent back home outside of the purpose that God has called him to be. Let's go to Genesis 19. Genesis chapter 19. And we'll start on, let's start on 12. This is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah being blown to smithereens, okay? That's my translation, okay? Sodom and Gomorrah, evil place. God's going to destroy it. And Lot and his family are in Sodom and Gomorrah. And God chooses to deliver them because they're the only, Lot is the only holy person left in Sodom and Gomorrah. And God decides, I'm gonna save Lot and his family. So he sends two angels in to warn him and get him out of there. This is a wild story. If you've never read this, you're going to be like, what is happening right now? If you have read it, okay, you read it again, you're like, wait, what is happening right now? You know, life is hard. It is harder if you're dumb, okay? This is an example, okay? This is exactly what we're talking about today, okay? Verse 12, it says, then the men said to Lot, the men are the angels, the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone you have in the city, bring them out of the place, for we are about to destroy this place because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law, who are you to marry his daughters? Up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city. But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. I'm telling you right now that the things of God are foolish to those in the world. This is a prime example of this moment where angels are like, get out of here. Lot comes to his sons-in-law, is like, we got to get out of here. God's about to destroy this. And they start laughing at him. They start laughing at him. May I never come to a place in my life where the Holy Spirit's voice is not taken seriously in my life. Where it's not taken seriously, it's not a priority in my life. One of my greatest prayers over myself and my family every day before I go to work is, God, today we honor your voice. We honor your Holy Spirit above all else in this household. And when you say, we will go. And we speak that over our family every day. Why? Because it can happen. I've seen it happen in my life. And I'm not going to let that happen again. Let's move on. Verse 15 says, as morning dawned, this is crazy, y'all. The angels heard Lot. They're still there. Angels heard Lot saying, up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city. But he lingered. How many chances are you going to get? What is happening? Like, I don't know about you. I read this. I'm like, what are you? What? There are movies in Hollywood that they take this script, right? Yeah. You watch, you're like, come on! You know, it's like slow motion. The guy gets out the gun. You're like, dude, you're dead already, bro. Like, real life, I know how this works, all right? You're gone, all right? Like, that's not happening, all right? He's still lingering. He's still dragging his feet. We could talk about that all day. There's a lot of reasons why people drag their feet when it comes to the Holy Spirit telling them what to do. There's a lot of reasons. I believe one of the biggest reasons what's happening is Lot could not burn his bridge. He just could not leave his old life behind He knew if he stayed there, he's gone. Destroyed. Game over. And yet he lingers there because he just can't leave it behind. We're going to see in a moment how it affects his family. Men, pay attention. So the men seized him. This is crazy. So the men, the angel, they seized him and his wife, his two daughters, by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. And as they brought them out, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away." And Lot said to them, this is crazy, "Oh no, my lords. You annoyed yet? You feel like you're getting drugged through the mud a little bit? Yeah. Behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life. But I cannot escape to the hills. Let the disaster overtake me and die." He's like, "I got a better plan." Y'all, this is crazy. This is nuts. You're reading the same Bible that I'm reading right now? This is crazy, all right? He's like, "Nah, can I go somewhere else?" What? "Behold, this city is near enough to flee to, and it's a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved." He said to him, "Behold, I grant you this favor." Man, God bless these angels. These angels got to be, "You are dumb. You are really, really dumb." You know? Gosh. Man. "Behold, I grant you this favor also, that I will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken. Escape there quickly, for I can do nothing till you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar, which means little one. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife, behind him, looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. The word there used in the Hebrew for look back is to look back longingly. She looked back longingly. It wasn't so much of, because if you ever read this, I don't know, the first time I read this, I was like, dang, that's harsh, right? Whew. She was like, you know. You know what I'm talking about? But no, it was much more. It was much more than just like a glance or accidental. There was something in her heart that looked back. And when she looks back, it says that she was turned to a pillar of salt. I mean, she was warned, she was told. But this is crazy to me because this happens. I mean, it happens in the church, y'all, all right? I'm sorry, this is not a message. If you think it's for a message for the lost, you're wrong. This is a message for the church, for Christians. You know, how long we're going to look back longingly to the world, right? Or look to the world and, you know, pull up our phones and look at social media and like, man, that just looks way better. That's awesome. Or sometimes we say things like, man, it's just not, I mean, you hear this a lot. If you're on social media, there's a lot of smart people out there, you know, too smart for their own good. And they say things like, you know what, I just can't get behind that God because it just doesn't seem fair. Who cares? He's God. Like, I'm sorry. Who? Like, now I believe that I could, if we sat here for hours, I could run through the scripture and show you how fair God is, and how gracious. How I will go ahead and say this. God is wild. If you want to talk about fair and unfair, all right, we have treated him way more unfairly throughout the history of mankind than God has ever been unfair to us. He has given us grace after grace, mercy after mercy, and people have the nerve to say, you know what? I just don't know if I can get behind that God. Because it doesn't matter what you think. Your great mental IQ has literally worked you out of salvation, of seeing the grace of God on people's lives. And I will tell you this, that's the church's fault. Now, we don't like that. We're like, hey, come on now. But it is our job as Christians to be a testimony and a light to people all the time. They don't have a reason to be able to say it. Now, yes, there will always be people that say stuff like that, okay? But as Christians, we got to go out there and be a light to the darkness, all right? To show how unfair I've been to God, and yet he saved this guy. Me. Let me tell you what I've done. Let me tell you what I've been through. And yet, here I am, living not just a life, but an incredible life. My life is amazing. And we have the nerve to say, my life's really hard. You live in America. You live in the United States of America. How dare I say, my life is hard? Now, do I go through hard things? Absolutely. Do I go through challenging things? Yes, we all do. But get a grip. All right? Move on. Burn some bridges and say, I'm not going back there. I'm not playing this game. I'm not playing this game like, I just don't know if I agree with God. No one cares, okay? All right? God is going to be God. He is sovereign. All right? It's who he is. He is unmoved. And yet we are constantly trying to move the Holy Spirit, to make the Holy Spirit yield to us instead of yielding to him. That's why you have churches, Christians, that are like, you know what? It's cool if you're gay. You can be a Christian. It's cool. Don't worry about it. It's cool. It's okay. It's okay if we murder millions of babies. It's okay. It's cool. It's okay. Don't worry. Don't worry. And some of us even are like, Brandon, can we not go there right now? Well, we are totally going there, okay? Because, like, the reality is this is what starts to happen in culture. Is we start to make these small little compromises in our life, and we are unwilling to burn bridges. We start erecting bridges to the world that God said, no, that is not a bridge. That is not a gateway. There is only one way, and it is through me, Jesus said. And praise the Lord that his grace is more than enough. If you're gay, come to church. We will love you. We will love you so much, all right? If you've had an abortion, we will love you so much. We will love you so much that at Liberty Church, and there's churches all across the world like this. We're not the only one, all right? But at Liberty Church, we will love you so much, we will not allow you to stay where you're at. We will tell you the truth. And as a church family, we can't be shy of that. We can't be. We cannot be. We can't lose our kids. We can't lose a generation, all right? This is pivotal moment. This is pivotal time. And so when we start talking about this, we can't allow people to be stuck in this moment. And so I ask you today, where are you going to burn? What are you going to burn? What kind of bridges are you going to burn? Are we going to just sit around and say, you know what? That's a cool sermon. Thanks, man. Good talk. Because it's not a sermon. It's just, it's not. It's literally, it's who God is. It's his Holy Spirit speaking to all of us, all right? There's a lot of things today that I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now. All of us in the room, online right now, is saying, let's change some stuff. So let's close this thing down, Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, we're going to look at, let's look at verse 57 to start off with. And when we read this today, I want you to hear this today because this is so important. Because Jesus, so often, when he's talking to his disciples and he's talking to the people, because he's speaking majority of the time to the Jews, okay? And he says things that trigger stories that they know in the Bible. And so you're going to read this, and I'm going to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit's going to trigger some stuff that we read today. And it says in Luke chapter 9, verse 57, as they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He's saying, hey, you say you'll follow me, but do you recognize what that's going to mean? Are you truly willing to do it? Because it's easy to say, but it's not easy to do. 59, to another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, so Jesus says, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Sometimes we read this and we're like, that's not fair. Then you missed it. Jesus is putting a profound urgency in his call in this moment. He's saying, the thing that you think is so urgent is nowhere near as urgent as advancing my kingdom. Don't you dare put a price so high on something that is not the calling that I've put on your life. And yet here we are saying, this is so important. This is so much important. This is so much bigger. This is so much bigger. Is it? Verse 61, yet another said, I will follow you, Lord. But first, it's going to sound familiar. Let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus says to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And Jesus, in this moment, he goes so hard. Because he's speaking to all of these people of Jewish background, and they know the two other passages that we read. They know about Elisha. They know about Lot's wife. Those are two of the most famous messages talked about in the Jewish culture, okay? They knew about all of that. And so Jesus says, and they're like, oh, shoot. Because there's this comparison in this moment. It's not an accident that Jesus uses the word plow. It's not an accident that he uses the phrase to look back. It's not an accident. He's saying, hey, you know the stories, and yet why are you still lingering? You know what happened. You've read it. You know it time and time again. You've sat in a synagogue over and over again, and you've heard rabbis after rabbis talk about and read this scripture. You know it. You know it so well, in fact, that you have somehow forgotten it. So let me remind you today. You can say, I'll follow you. But do you mean it? You can say, I'll follow you. But what kind of urgency do you have? And one of our greatest fears, maybe not, maybe I'll just talk to myself for a minute. One of my greatest fears as a Christian is like, wonder if I start doing something or saying something and I just like mess it up horribly. Wonder if I say or do or mess up something, or, you know, I go up to some random person in Menards like, hey, how you doing? You know, what's going on? They tell me, I'm like, can I pray for you? Wonder if I mess it up, all right? Wonder if somebody comes up to me and tries to contradict the scripture and I don't know how to refute them. Maybe if I don't have enough knowledge base, or, you know, I mean, I watch videos of people like Wes Huff, if you've ever heard of this dude, and he's like the apologetic, like, genius. His IQ is ridiculous, and he's so smart. I'm like, man, I don't know that I could ever be like that guy. But I'll just share this with you. I saw this video. It's like, you know, all of that is great, but, you know, most people, when they ask me a question, the most important question that I asked back is, why are you asking that? He said, because most people, when they ask a contradicting question of the Bible or something they don't agree with the Bible, it comes from something from their past that is holding them back, and they just need a connection point. I was like, because here we are trying to make it perfect or try to figure it out or try to be the best, when God's just like, hey, I don't know, the last time I remember a call was, who's willing? It's crazy. There was no, like, prerequisites. Who's willing and has read the Bible 500 times, gone to Bible college, raised 17 people from the dead, and will go. He just says, who's willing? And so, does that mean that you're going to have some really difficult conversations? I don't know. That's up to you. You can live the rest of your life and never have a difficult conversation the rest of your life if you want. But my challenge to us today is, when we go out of this place, that we're willing to have difficult conversations, that we're willing to step out of our comfort zone and love people right where they're at, but not willing to leave them where they're at, that we love them enough to say, come on, let me show you what God has done. Let me be bold in the way and the things that I speak of. And sometimes as churchgoers, we get tired of hearing, like, yo, you need to bring somebody to church, you need to bring a friend. But, like, you do. I do. Like, we need to do that. We need to get people in the seats. Why? Because they need to know Jesus Christ. Because if they're not in here, they're going to find out some other random place. And don't you dare tell me for a minute that your testimony is not relevant to the people that you see every day. It's so relevant. It's so relevant. So today, what bridges you got to burn? We all have different bridges that we're called to burn today. So my question to all of us is, what is it? What is it? Maybe it's a lot. Maybe it's a lot. You think God can help you burn them all? You think God can help you burn them all? You think God can help you burn them all?
Yes.
Yeah. You think that God can refine you today in a way that you've never experience before? I believe he can. So today, permission to burn those bridges. I don't have a huge hurrah. I have just simply, we're going to use this space as an altar today. And we're going to use this space to simply come before our Heavenly Father today. If you're at home, online, watching, your altar can be right in front of you today, okay? But we're going to use this altar today, and we're just going to bring things here today, and we're going to light them on fire. We're going to allow God to come and burn those things. Again, choice is yours. I'm not here to force you. So we're going to open this space up. But if you want to burn some bridges, I would encourage you today, when you walk out of this place, know that you know that it's burned. Some of you are afraid because you're like, I want to do it. I'm going to do it. But then, like, wonder if I go back at some point. Don't let that cloud your judgment today. Okay? Don't let that cloud your judgment today. Can I have the worship team up here? We didn't plan this, so. But we're going to worship for a little while. If you're online, I would encourage you just to take a moment. If you want to do this, you can do it. It's free for you. It's free for anybody. And if you don't know Jesus today, and you're like, man, that was very meaty today. I know. But as a church, I love this church. I love our church family. We're just unwilling to stay. I just love that about our church family. We're just moving forward. We're moving on. And so, if you don't know Jesus and you want to know Jesus, I'm going to lead us in a prayer in just a moment. And you just say this prayer. And it's not about the words as much as the heart behind it. But this is you making a declaration of Jesus being the number one thing in your life. So if you want Jesus to be the number one thing, your Savior, just say this prayer with me. Say, "Dear Jesus, I need you. I realize I am broken without you. So right now, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. And I recognize right now, Lord, that you sent your son Jesus to die for me on a cross, and I'll never be the same. I thank you that I am forever changed. And that bridge after bridge of my past is burned. And I have a new way of going. Thank you, Jesus." So it's going to be awkward for a minute. So you're going to be like, "Do I come? What do I do? What do I do?" Well, the altar is officially open. So you stay as long as you want. You come. If you need prayer, we'll pray with you. But we're going to worship some. I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to worship some. And the altar is open. So you come anytime. Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.